a hole in this country where its heart used to be. And no glory is divided on fire in the street. They say building back better make America great. If that's a wave of the future, all I've got to say, stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. They invite the whole world to come live in our land and leave our countrymen dying in Afghanistan. They say let go of Jesus, let government save. You can have back your freedoms if you do what we say. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep you a big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine.
Something brand new. Good evening, Jeff Bennett here live on this 28th day of July. Another day I wasn't expected to be here, but we explained all that last night. brand new song by John Rich, member of Big and Rich. Just came out a couple of days ago. I was introduced to it last night. Blew my mind. I published it on federalobserver.com. It is his way of slapping Biden and the rest. Six ways to Sunday. Hope you'll stay with us. We're going to play the entire song to close this program with tonight. Amazing. I just love it. Some people with guts. Glad to have you here. We've got a very, very full hour tonight. And need to get moving on it. One quick thing. Last night, the last 24 minutes of the program, I had somebody comment today, was something I'd recorded back in 2009, which is kind of warnings about the things to be very careful about when you're purchasing gold and silver, etc. And I wanted to be aware of the fact that it was an old recording. One I didn't realize I had, and I started listening to a video, and I said, I got to play this. There was some, obviously, misinformation in it because it made reference to flyingeaglegold.com. All of our sites, etc., are owned by Kettle Moraine Limited, so don't be all concerned about that. There was, I think, one of the web addresses we gave for goldenira.net, which later became .com, and that's now been interjected into Sierra Madre Precious Metals. Name of our metals websites mean nothing. There is no such firm as Sierra Madre Precious Metals. Anyway, enough is enough. Let's get it on, because we've got a lot to get into. Last week we did a program, very intense commentary for John Whitehead, who is a man I've become absolutely blown away with. His work becomes stronger every freaking week. His latest, which was published today, states that we are all suspects in a DNA lineup, and we are all waiting to be matched with a crime. In many respects, this commentary is a continuation of that which we shared with you last week. John opens with a quotation by Justice Antonin Scalia, who was dissenting in a case called Maryland versus King. And Scalia stated, "Solving unsolved crimes is a noble offense, but it occupies a lower place in the American pantheon of noble objectives and the protection of our people from suspicionless law enforcement searches. Make no mistake about it, Scalia continues, your DNA can be taken and entered into a national DNA database if you are ever arrested, rightly or wrongly, and for whatever reason. Perhaps the construction of such a genetic panopticon is wise, but I doubt that the proud men who... I don't know what I can do to control that. Let's try this a little bit and see if that helps. He continues, but I doubt that the proud men who wrote the Charter of Our Liberties would have been so eager to open their mouths for royal inspection. And as John begins, be warned. The DNA detectives are on the prowl. Whatever the skeletons may be lurking on our family tree or in our closet, whatever crimes that we may have committed, whatever associations you may have with those on the government's most wanted lists, the police state is determined to ferret you out. In an age of over-criminalization, round-the-clock surveillance, a police state eager to flex its muscles in a show of power, we are all guilty of some transgression or another. And no longer can we consider ourselves innocent until proven guilty. For now, we are all suspects in a DNA lineup waiting to be matched up with a crime. Suspect state. Meet the genetic panopticon. You see, DNA technology, my friends, in the hands of government officials, will complete our transition to a surveillance state in which prison walls are disguised within the seemingly benevolent trappings of technological and scientific progress. National security, the need to guard against terrorists, pandemics, civil unrest, etc. It's getting harder to hide, even if you think you've got nothing to hide. And armed with unprecedented access to DNA databases amassed by the FBI and ancestry websites, as well as hospital newborn screening programs, police are using forensic genealogy, which allows police to match up an unknown suspect's crime scene DNA with that of any family members in a genealogy database to solve cold cases that have remained unsolved for decades. This is kind of an interesting comment. I came across a piece the other day on one of the things that I get on a daily basis. And it deals with a little-known actress who decided to do one of these genealogy studies and was shocked to find out that amongst her ancestors goes all the way back to the landing in America on the Mayflower. Can you imagine the other stuff that they could dig up? Oh, my God. So, by submitting our DNA to a genealogical database such as Ancestry or 23andMe, you are giving the police access to the genetic makeup, the relationships, the health profiles of every relative, past, present, and future in your family, whether or not they ever agreed to be part of such a database. It no longer even matters if you're among the tens of millions of people who have added their DNA to Ancestry databases. As Brian Resnick reports, public DNA databases have grown so massive that they can be used to find you, even if you've never shared your own DNA. That simple transaction, a spit sample or a cheek swab in exchange for getting to learn everything about your own ancestral makeup, where you came from, who's part of your extended family, that's the price of entry into the suspect state for all of us. And after all, a DNA print reveals everything about who we are, where we came from, and who we will be. It can also be used to predict the physical appearance of potential suspects. It is, my friends, what the police state refer to as a modern fingerprint. Now, whereas fingerprint technology created a watershed moment for police in their ability to crack a case, DNA technology is now being hailed by law enforcement agencies as the magic bullet in crime solving, especially when it helps them crack cold cases of serial murderers and rapists. I mean, after all, who wouldn't want to get psychopaths and serial rapists off the streets and safely behind bars? Right? At least that's the argument being used by law enforcement to support their unrestricted access to these genealogy databases. And they've got the success stories to prove it. You and I continue to read more about them on a continual basis. Let me give you an example. 68-year-old Pennsylvania man was arrested and charged with the brutal rape and murder of a young woman 50 years earlier. And relying on genealogical research suggesting that the killer had ancestors who hailed from a small town in Italy, investigators narrowed their findings down to one man whose DNA, obtained from a discarded coffee cup, matched the killer's. A discarded coffee cup. In another cold case investigation, a 76-year-old man was arrested for two-decades-old murders after his DNA was collected from a breathalyzer during an unrelated traffic stop. Yeah, my friends, it's not just psychopaths and serial rapists who are getting caught up in the investigative dragnet. No. You see, in the police state's pursuit of criminals, anyone who comes up as a possible DNA match, including distant family members, suddenly becomes part of a circle of suspects that must be tracked, investigated, and ruled out. Victims of past crimes are also getting added to the government's growing DNA database of potential suspects. An example, San Francisco police used a rape victim's DNA, which was on file from a 2016 sexual assault, to arrest the woman for allegedly being involved in a property crime that took place in 2021. And so in this way, guilt by association has taken on new connotations in a technological age in which one is just a DNA sample away from being considered a person of interest in a police investigation. As Jessica Cousins warns in Psychology Today, quote, the fundamental fight, that data from potentially innocent people should not be used to connect them to unrelated crimes. All of that has been now lost. And you see, until recently, our government was required to at least observe some basic restrictions on when and where and how it could access someone's DNA. But that was turned on its head by various U.S. Supreme Court rulings that heralded the loss of privacy on a cellular level. And for instance, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the Maryland versus King case that taking DNA samples from a suspect does not violate the Fourth Amendment. The court's subsequent decision to let stand the Maryland Court of Appeals ruling in Rayner versus Maryland, which essentially determined that individuals do not have a right to privacy when it comes to their DNA, made Americans even more vulnerable to the government accessing, analyzing, and storing our DNA without their knowledge or permission. And I hate to tell you this, it's all been downhill since then. Indeed, the government has been relentless in its efforts to get hold of our DNA, either through mandatory programs carried out in connection with law enforcement or corporate America, all being done warrantly accessing our familial DNA shared with genealogical services such as Ancestry and 23andMe, or through the collection of our shed or touch DNA. Get ready, people. Because our government has embarked on a diabolical campaign to create a nation of suspects predicated on a massive national DNA database, all of which has been helped along by Congress, which adopted legislation allowing police to collect and test DNA immediately following arrests, and President Trump, who signed the Rapid DNA Act into law, the courts which have ruled the police can routinely take DNA samples from people who are arrested but not yet convicted of a crime. And of course, let us not forget the local police agencies who are chomping at the bit to acquire this new crime-fighting gadget. Example, rapid DNA machines, portable, about the size of a desktop printer, highly unregulated, far from foolproof, and so fast that they can produce DNA profiles in less than 2 hours. All of these allow police to go on a fishing expedition for any hint of possible misconduct using DNA samples. Journalist Heather Murphy explains that as police agencies build out their local DNA databases, they are collecting DNA not only from people who have been charged with major crimes, but also, increasingly, from people who are merely deemed suspicious, permanently linking their genetic identities to criminal databases. End quote. And so now all 50 states maintain their own DNA government databases, although the protocols from collection, they differ from state to state. Increasingly, many of the data from local data banks are being uploaded to CODIS, C-O-D-I-S. That's the FBI's massive DNA database, which has become a de facto way to identify and track the American people from birth to death. My friends, even hospitals have gotten in on the game by taking and storing newborn babies' DNA, often and usually without their parents' knowledge or consent. It's all part of the government's mandatory genetic screening of newborns. And in many states, the DNA is stored indefinitely. And there's also a move underway to carry out whole genome sequencing on newborns, ostensibly to help diagnose rare diseases early and improve health later in life, which constitutes an ethical minefield all by itself. And my friends, what all this means for those being born today is inclusion in a government database that contains intimate information about who they are, their ancestry, what awaits them in the future, including their inclinations to be followers, leaders, or even troublemakers. Just recently, in fact, police in New Jersey accessed the DNA from a 9-year-old blood sample of a newborn baby in order to identify the child's father as a suspect in a decades-old sexual assault. Think about this. The ramifications of this kind of DNA profiling are horribly far-reaching, my friends. At a minimum, these DNA databases do away with any semblance of privacy or anonymity. The lucrative possibilities for hackers and commercial entities looking to profit off one's biological records are, well, they're simply endless. It's estimated that the global human identification market is projected to reach $6.5 billion by 2032. And these genetic databases and genomic technology also makes us that much more vulnerable to creeps and cyber stalkers and genetic profiling and those who would weaponize the technology against all of us. But unfortunately, the debate over genetic privacy and when one's DNA becomes a public commodity outside the protection of the Fourth Amendment's prohibition on warrantless searches and seizures continues to lag far behind the government and corporate America's encroachment upon our rights. And moreover, while much of the public debate, the legislative efforts, the legal challenges in recent years have focused on the protocols surrounding when police can legally collect the suspect's DNA, with or without a search warrant, and whether upon arrest or conviction, the question of how to handle, shed, or touch DNA has largely slipped through without much debate or opposition. Scientist Leslie A. Prey notes the following: that we all shed DNA, leaving traces of our identity practically everywhere we go. In fact, the garbage you leave for curbside pickup is a potential gold mine of this sort of material. And all of his shed or so-called abandoned DNA is free for the taking by local police investigators hoping to crack unsolvable cases. Shed DNA is also free for inclusion in a secret universal DNA database. Prey continues that what this means is that if you have the misfortune to leave your DNA traces anywhere a crime has been committed, you've already got a file somewhere in some state or federal database. Albeit it may be a file without a name. As Heather Murphy warned in the New York Times, that the science fiction future in which police can swiftly identify robbers and murderers from discarded soda cans and cigarette butts has arrived. Genetic fingerprinting is set to become as routine as the old-fashioned kind. Huh. Cigarette butts, huh? Well, I know. I should be quitting. Maybe that last one I flipped out the driver's window, somebody will pick up. Well, as the dissenting opinion to the Maryland Court of Appeals shed DNA ruling in Rayner rightly warned, a person can no longer vote, participate in a jury, or obtain a driver's license without opening up his genetic material for state collection and codification. Indeed, by refusing to hear the Rayner case, the Supreme Court gave its tacit approval for government agents to collect shed DNA, likening it to a person's fingerprints, or the color of their hair, or their eyes, or their skin. It's just a matter of time before government agents will know everywhere we've been, how long we were at each place by following our shed DNA. I mean, after all, scientists can already track salmon across hundreds of square miles of streams and rivers using DNA. And yet today, helped along by robotics and automation, DNA processing, analysis, and reporting takes far less time and can bring forth all manner of information right down to the person's eye color and their relatives. And incredibly, one company specializes in creating mugshots for police based on DNA samples from unknown suspects, which are then compared to individuals with similar genetic profiles. Of course, none of these technologies are infallible, you know. DNA evidence can be wrong, either through human error, tampering, or even outright fabrication, and it happens more often than we are told. And so what this amounts to is a scenario in which we have little to no defense against charges of wrongdoing, especially when convicted by technology, even less protection against the government sweeping up our DNA in much the same way it sweeps up our phone calls, our emails, our text messages. Now, friends, it's only a matter of time before the police state's pursuit of criminals from the past expands into genetic profiling and a preemptive hunt for criminals of the future. Dated this day, John and Nisha Whitehead. Does it go over your head? It shouldn't. It is more than simple to understand, isn't it? To me, it is. I look at what we covered last week. It is very much a continuation, a slightly different subject and approach. No two ways about it. Absolutely no two ways about it. I don't think there is a writer in this country that approaches things the way that Whitehead does. I need to contact him. one of the things on his website requires that if you're going to reproduce, blah, 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 you got to get permission to do so. It's past time that I do that. And I'm telling you something. What's going on needs to be covered in every respect. You know I don't do guests. Whitehead might be the kind of guest I might consider. But I frankly have no time. Things to think about, my friends. Now, we're going to go in a somewhat different direction for the balance of this program, but in some respects, I begin to wonder about the intertwining of it all. There is some very intense intertwining, my friends. I am, from a personal standpoint, and I'm not trying to brag by any stretch of the imagination, but the programs that I do each week, I'm beginning to have go through a major draw to these programs that we're doing on Thursdays. I have no idea what I'm going to do tomorrow. I will talk to Michael about it later tonight. I've got a couple of ideas from a musical standpoint. As you know, I like to dance on Friday nights. And I strongly urge you to do the same thing. Because there may not be a lot of time left to dance on this earth, my friends. Let me ask you a question. You want to buy a bridge? I mean, come on, think about this for a minute. Do you want to buy a bridge? You know, our media, the media feeds are like combat zone full of mines, tripwires, pitfalls. My friend Charlie constantly sets off something as he stravages along. Boom! Hey, buddy, want to buy a bridge? The other morning, Charlie was sipping his morning coffee, staggered through the usual media feeds, as we both do, and he realized that his assessment of this preposterous, pandering, predatory production is more appropriate than he first began to realize. Oh, he knows that their sole purpose is financial. There's no goodwill or thought of community or humanitarian outreach, as their charters insist. No, it's all pure greed that spurs them on. There was a time that Charlie considered himself well-educated, but as Socrates, or Socrates Johnson in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, reminds us that the only true wisdom is in knowing that you know nothing. A very humbling and sobering thought for an aspiring polymath. Socrates' appeal to one's arrogance became part of my dogma, Charlie says. I hope that my karma doesn't back over it. Not that I want to learn everything, he says, but I do want to remain open to learning what I can from life as the lessons are presented. And I also firmly believe that God provides those lessons to shepherd me through life, and albeit I do it grudgingly. But there's an obvious fork, a divergent path here. And as Yogi Berra once said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. You know that every word in print or burbling sound from the media, talking heads, is, well, they're all trying to sell us a bridge of one form or another. And they aim to convince us that they're more intelligent than either you or I. They try to enlist us emotionally, persuade you to buy that bridge. You can call it what you want. It can be a computer, it can be a type of food, it can be an electric car, it can be whatever you want it to be. But that's what they're doing. You know, we've all wandered through the jumble our entire lives. Charlie's 70-some-odd years, he's been misdirected more times than I care to admit, he says. But We've all been down that path. As a matter of fact, Charlie owns several bridges. Well, Bennett, what are you talking about? What does it mean to buy a bridge? Well, that phrase indicates that someone is incredibly gullible. It refers to a master con man, one George C. Parker, best known for selling property he didn't own. Most famously, the Brooklyn Bridge. Kablooey! That's a tripwire. Dictionary.com defines gullible as easily deceived or cheated. The synonyms include the word green, as in the new Green Deal. How incredibly appropriate. Which is, that's precisely how most of us feel about Al Gore and John Kerry's cult, the Greeniacs. The Greeniacs, except that I call them the Green Weenies. But telling the entire story would take more space than is practical. Probably more time than we would ever have to get it out on the airwaves. Besides, it's all available from trustworthy sources on the interweb, isn't it? Well, there's this Green New Deal thing. Several brief videos are full of information in the Start Watching banner toward, the bottom of what we're sharing with you. But fascinates us that these eco-cultists would associate and define their ideology using a word that implies gullibility, naive people. How about fraudulent ideas? Wow! Who knew all of that? Yeah, well, me for one and several others. There is a milieu of complexities here, mainly as they apply to elitism. Only those in the know, the intelligentsia, would understand said complexities and possess the background necessary to embrace the pseudoscience of global warming and the looming climate calamities to become Greeniacs. Buy the bridge. Join the elite, the intellectual club. Are you kidding? The intelligentsia? The bridge to the future. No, it seems to me there was a film made many, many years ago called A Bridge Too Far. That may be more appropriate, Charlie. My friends, it's also striking that only the elite can afford the solutions proffered by the Greeniacs. You know, John Kerry, this administration's climate czar's personal $5 million jet. That thing emits 325 metric tons of carbon. Wonder how much more comes out when he flushes the toilet in that jet. Never mind. So he justifies all this by his station in life, after all. You know, the champion of the Greeniacs. He's above the law, like most elites. Hey, buddy, want to buy a bridge? And so we enter the world, as we did last week, of fact turds. You know the recommended annual output level is 16 tons per person in this country? Annual output level? Well, the Paris Accord, you know, the Greeniac Holy Gospel, requires 2.1 tons per person a year. But we're spitting out 16 tons? Now, what do you get? Another, never mind, that's a song. The average salary in America is $56,310. That's it. That's all there is, Jack. And so, Amongst our other factoids, we read about KBB, which suggests the electric car's average price today is $62,876, compared to a fossil fuel-powered car at about $47,000, about $15,000 to join the Greeniacs Club. Of course, the estimated loan payment is $1,186.55 per month for 60 months. That's $8,316.86 in interest. So that means you forked out just over $71,000 to buy that electric car. No thanks. Battery life for electric cars is about 65,000 miles. We talked about this a week or so ago. And by the way, that's kind of guesswork. But replacement costs for a battery are about $15,000. Hey, buddy, want to buy a... Well, he says bridge, but how about an electric car? My buddy, Raymond, Brother Smooth, the guy I was in Vietnam with, has got his pants so wet to buy an electric car. The guy's got an Acura that he drives that's only got 18,000 stinking miles on it. Now, the car's a pig pen. It's filthy. It's nasty. It's a New Yorker. What do they care? He wants to trade that car. Now, first of all, I could sell that car for him out here in Arizona for huge money. And what does he want to do? He wants to buy a bridge. I mean, an electric car. Oh, what an idiot. Willie realizes that when that battery kicks the bucket for the lack of use of the vehicle, it's going to cost him about $15,000 just for the battery alone. Let's talk about where I live. There's an average of about 200 sunny days a year in Phoenix, Arizona. America's average is 210 days. Roughly 85 clear days. Solar panels work best in full sun. The effectiveness drops to 10 to 25% during the cloudy days. Problem is I don't want no chinky stuff up on my house. So you got a 5 kilowatt solar panel energy system in Arizona. It costs about $14,000. Add another $4,000 if you add a battery system. You're now up to $18,000. Oh, and by the way, a kilowatt is the measure of energy of 1 kilowatt equals 1,000 watts. Well, they claim the system life expectancy is about 25 years. Now, mileage could vary depending on weather conditions or driving habits. You got to see your dealer for details. But wait, there's more. A 5 kilowatt solar system requires some 18 panels. The maintenance cost on a 2 kilowatt, that's an 8 panel system, about $400 annually, $50 a panel. But the 5 kilowatt system has 10 more panels. And that larger system's maintenance costs are $900 a year based on the average cost per panel. Of course, that's an undisclosed requirement. So if you need maintenance on your roof, it's going to cost you about $37,050 to replace the solar panels. Your homeowner's insurance probably won't cover it. I can damn near guarantee it won't. Now, most insurance carriers will cancel your coverage after 2, maybe 3 claims in 24 months. Charlie's insurance carrier of 24 years canceled him after 2 claims for storm damage 4 years apart. Think about that. Some years ago, I filed a claim with my insurance company. Now, my wife and I have now had this insurance company for some 22, 23 odd years, right? And we went to file a claim on the home we're living in now. And we were declined on that particular claim because according to the records, let's call it the DNA of our home, a previous owner had filed a similar claim. Theirs turned out to be a false claim. Therefore, they declined my claim. Yeah, see, they got DNA in your houses too, huh? Real cute. So, we go back to this business of fat turds. Oh yeah, we're back to it. I mean, all of this stuff that they're offering is free energy. Except for the cost of the solar panels, the batteries, the cables, the mounts, other necessary paraphernalia. Oh no, those you lease or purchase outright. Charlie's neighbor, get this. This just appalls me. Charlie's neighbor owns two Tesla S models. His system with 18 panels, the batteries, the charging station, and installation was over $40,000. Approximately $250,000 for the two cars brings their investment to nearly $300,000. Isn't that cool? All to save the environment? My assets. Oh, yeah, the government's willing to pay for some of the installation, or so the internet sales brochures advertise. No, those aren't internet sales brochures. Those are bridge sales brochures. Oh, and by the way, John Kerry's net worth is $103.1 million. Al Gore is worth over $300 million. Apparently, climate alarmism is a very lucrative cause. These are the kind of people that get on a private jet plane to fly 7 miles to save the planet. Kiss my assets. But these factoids that Charlie has presented are merely things to consider before you make an ignorant and impassionate decision to buy the bridge. Well, you need to investigate it very, very thoroughly. Hey, buddy, want to buy that bridge? You know, one of the interesting things is we, in this nation, in this world today, we tend to allow our passions to dictate our resolve rather than by thoughtful decision. Think before you act. For my friends, we should all know better. And Charlie's point is that being predisposed to jump into a decision based on passions is typically American. We're indoctrinated to react emotionally to every single situation. I mean, listen to the impassioned pleas from the big guy at our sinking leader's ship's pulpit. They hope to enlist us all emotionally, short-circuiting, bypassing our logical mind to sell us a bridge. Some people cannot separate emotions from decisions. I'm referring to logic or the Socratic method. Socrates was not the only philosopher to extol the value of reason in decision making. His idea of looking before you leap is as old as time itself, but we think we know better, don't we? And midterm elections are a primary example of a bridge for sale. Partisan politicians, their mega mainstream media cohorts, assail their opponents with accusations and innuendos of heinous wrongdoing. One has got to keep these words in mind. Women are from Venus and men are from Mars, but all the other genders you make up are from Uranus. What are the claims of these characters running for public office? In many respects, their claims are impeachable offenses, and there should be consequences. Oh, you could remain free. We'll forgive your student loans. We'll cure your poverty. We'll make the air breathable again. Save the polar bears and the Arctic ice caps. And we'll make the crooks pay if you vote for us. And how about trade a little liberty for immediate security, baby? My friends, when a rational human being looks back through our political history, we can extract a precious few instances or examples of fulfilled political promises. But unfortunately, with Bungles the Clown's promise to destroy the fossil fuel industry in America is one of them. He's keeping it in spades, but only to enrich his family's fortune at our expense. How much money did he make when he sold 6 billion barrels of our SORs to China? Our vote, you see, is the most potent weapon in our arsenal, and yet we squander it on appearance and rhetoric. You know, rhetoric, the nice, polite word for the word bullshit. Oh, I know that offends some of you when I use that term, but damn it, wake up. Because all of this is a passion of pre-appeal and a pretty face. It's all it takes to sway most Americans. You know, you can make a difference. You have a choice. Your vote can change the country. Hey, buddy, want to buy a bridge? In reality, people, it's not the people that vote who count. It's who does count the votes. We saw this firsthand in the 2020 presidential selections. Substantive evidence is obscured. And we, the people, live the results on a daily basis. Evil begets evil. That is the object lesson, my friends. They bend their tongue as if it were their bow for falsehood, and they are grown strong in the land, but not for truth. But they proceed from evil to evil, and they don't know me, says Yahweh. Jeremiah 9:3. And even though every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a crooked tree bear good fruit. Matthew 7:17-18. These two biblical verses, my friends, advise that the result follows the precedent, and the values that America exhibits follow the ethics of our leadership first, and then those of the people. Liberty cannot foster restraint, and lies cannot nurture honor. And yet this is where we are. The world hears our words and sees our example and then wonders why America demands that they live up to expectations that we refuse to back here. Our programming, our passion blind us, my friends. Our willingness to buy that bridge exposes the arrogance and the ignorance that Americans fail to acknowledge. And yet, just as children are the product in the mirror of their parents, we are the product and the mirror of our leadership, our sinking leadership. We are America we create by complacency, by uncertainty, and neglect. And now I want you to sit back and after listening to all of this tonight and so many other years of our broadcasts and see how willing you are to answer this question. Hey, buddy, you want to buy a bridge? To me, it is a bridge too far. My friend Charles, I thank you as always. Charles and I talk by text or in person every single day. And the things that we have, all the years we've known each other, been about 15 years. And I think more so in the last 6, 8 months, maybe a year, we've begun to realize in many respects how much we think alike. We will get into this strange conversation via text, which is satirical, based on some funky little piece of language that he'll use or I'll use, and it all turns into something else. It becomes amazingly profound. So that we know of at least two of us out here who think a certain way. But the problem is, I know there's more than two of us. I hear from many of you each and every day, by text, by email, that are angry, fed up, upset with everything they're seeing, everything that surrounds us. And I'm glad to know there's more of us out there. The problem is, where's the rest of them? Oh. They bought the bridge. Or, worse than that, they're standing on it. And they're waiting for someone else to buy it. And when that someone else buys it, there's absolutely no guarantee that the bridge isn't going to be taken down in one form or another. You can make out of all of that as you wish. But you see, one of my obligations, having been on the air for so many years, people, is to make you think for yourselves. Think outside the box of what the mainstream media wants you to buy into. I mean, you think about this. That whole buy the bridge mentality came about because of a saying of a guy who tried to sell the Brooklyn Bridge. My God, how many years ago was that? What kind of condition is the Brooklyn Bridge in today? My God, some of the things that I've seen, bridges that have just completely collapsed because of age, because of miscare. And people keep buying into it. It is unbelievable to me. All these years on the air, and so many others of us who've tried everything we could to teach, to guide people down paths where they could make their own decisions, take control of their lives, their families' lives, and stop allowing the powers that be to control it all. Don't just shrug your shoulders and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. Bullshit, there isn't. It's your responsibility. It's not mine. It's not any other broadcasters at this network or any other network that you may or may used to listen to. None of this is the fault of a John Statmiller, a John Moore, a Michael Rivera, or anyone else. Each and every one of us for so damn many years has put our time, our efforts in, our energies to try to teach, to get you to make your own decisions, to think outside the box of the constant sales pitches of the bridge salesman. And what has been done? I swear to God that all these years later, since I began broadcasting in 1995, I never in my mind, in my wildest imagination, could believe what we're living through in this nation today. I guess we're controlled by the idiots that did buy the bridge and bought into all the BS. Sit back. Take a deep breath. Start thinking now. You don't have any more time. Start thinking outside the bounds. Because if you don't, we're done. We're finished. Get it on. We're going to close this program tonight with the song that we opened with, something I've never done before. John Rich. Believe me, it's well worth listening to. A little on the satirical side for some of you, but the reality is it's real. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine, Mr. Biden. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless and good night.
No glory is divided on fire in the street. They say building back better, make America great. If that's a wave of the future, all I've got to say, stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. They invite the whole world to come live in our land and leave our countrymen dying in Afghanistan. They say let go of Jesus, let government save. You can have back your freedoms if you do what we say. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Shut down our pipelines and they shut down our voices. Shut down our main streets and they shut down our choices. They've been us all over, but it's all over now. Cause we figured it out. We ain't backing down. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep you a big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Where the sun don't shine. Where the sun don't shine. Where the sun don't shine.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
RBN, John Stadtmiller's Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org.